Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, Chad.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed.
You know, this episode, we want to talk a little bit about Good Fight Ministries because we actually get a question quite often, and I figured this would be a good springboard for a conversation about what Good Fight Ministry is about, what this style of ministry really is about. And I figured, Tony, I know it's a conversation we have all the time, and we can dig into a little bit of that when it comes to what is known as the either-or fallacy, right, or the false dilemma when it comes to ministry. I think Paul specifically talks to this in the scriptures. But before I get to that, I figured I might springboard it off with a question that was asked of us on our Instagram page. And one thing, guys, whenever someone says something to us, I always like to have my data correct, okay? So I always make sure if somebody's saying, hey, you're doing this, I want them to say, okay, let's check out what this guy has to say. And this is what somebody said when we posted on our page this picture. It said, we're at a point in Christianity where people don't care if you can back it up with the Bible. Their feelings, desires, and emotions override what Scripture says. They don't follow Christ. They follow self. And I thought that was a very interesting point, so we posted it up and got a lot of likes on that. But somebody said, is this ministry simply based on criticism? It feels like it is. So I had to respond to them, and I said, just so you know, only 3 of the last 10 posts could be considered critical. One was of abortion, one of fornication, and one of the current state of much of the Christian church. This is a page for Good Fight Ministries. And as a discernment ministry, this is our purpose. All those involved at Good Fight also serve at our local church. One is a worship leader, another a youth pastor, and another a pastor. At that ministry, Blessed Hope Chapel, we are involved in a myriad of other ministries that you might deem positive. Complaining that a ministry that is dedicated to discernment is too busy discerning is like complaining to the worship team that they aren't preaching enough. God has different parts of the body for Amen. Different ministries.
Well put, bro.
This is just one of them. And I pointed that out because it's something that we hear all the time. You have people complaining this way, and you have the either-or fallacy that takes place where someone says, why are you exposing Miley Cyrus and Ariana Grande when you could be praying for them? Obviously, it's an either-or fallacy because they do not allow you. It's a false dilemma. They don't allow you to have the option for the fact of the truth of what is actually happening is that we pray for them and then expose them.
You can walk and chew gum at the same time spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. You can walk, talk, and chew gum and expose wickedness and still pray for those who are wicked. I mean, and that's a fact. And that's something that I know we do. I know Tony and I, we did an episode earlier about the prosperity gospel and false teachers in that regard. And the first thing we did before we started was pray. The first thing we did before we started today was pray. We pray, we pray, we pray. And then we do exactly what Ephesians 5:11 says to do. So, Joe, maybe let me ask you, because I know where my heart is with this ministry. I came to the Lord through Good Fight Ministries, through the exposing of wickedness, and then the presentation of the gospel message, specifically not only the gospel message, but also Jesus' worth in Matthew 12:30, where he said, he was not with me, is against me, and I gave my life to Christ. So obviously I guess I have a little bias about the ministry being fruitful. But Joe, maybe you could talk a little bit about what the ministry is about.
Yeah, well, we see a lot of fruit by the grace of God. And in fact, we believe, we have no doubt in our minds that one of the most effective ways to win people to Christ is through discernment ministry and apologetics and giving reasons to believe. I mean, we live in an age of postmodernism, post-Christian era, and postmodernism and relativism and all of that. And people need concrete reasons to believe. We need to give them the evidence. They've discounted the Lord God and all the evidences by just a few points made here and there by atheists often or liberal academics. And man, we have an avalanche of truth waiting for people that's waiting to be discovered, and we're the agents of God's truth. God calls Christians to be into discernment. He calls us to witness, and we see fruit all the time. I mean, we just had a service last Sunday. At the end of the service, a Filipino gal came up to me that I'd never seen before, never met, and she came up to me, and she started crying at the end of the service. And we often get visitors from other parts of the country, parts of the world. In this case, she's, maybe 5 hours up north, and she was in tears of joy, expressing how the Lord had used the ministry to save her dad. Her dad had been, surfing the internet and involved in some conspiracy theories, things of that nature, she said. And she said, he came across your podcast, and it's, our teachings are pure scripture matched with the world and what the world's doing, and exposing the world for its darkness to draw people to the light of Christ. And we show the ugly black, background of the kingdom of darkness, and then we show Christ in the midst of it as a shiny, beautiful, bright diamond that refracts all the, beautiful colors that God's made us to see. And in that, Christ shows up so bright in when he's contrasted with the world. And she just mentioned how her dad had come to Christ in the ministry, then her mom and her brother and herself, four people in the family. And the whole family got saved through the ministry. And this is just, and we hear these kinds of things over and over again. And we're thankful that we know that this is just the tip of the iceberg, because the people that actually come and tell you or thank you, we don't need any thanks. I mean, it's all Jesus through us. It's all the glory of God. It's by his grace that we're even in the kingdom. So we count it a privilege to serve. But the people that actually show up and just rejoice through the ministry is a small fraction of what actually happens through the ministry. And we just rejoice in that. In the meantime, there's people, saying, oh, maybe your ministry should be doing this instead of that. And who's doing the criticism then? Who's actually bearing fruit then? Are they actually winning a lot of souls to Christ, or any souls? We're called to win souls. And I know what God's called us to do. And Chad, you did a really good job in the outset of the program, that we're not all called to the same ministry. If you go to, I think it's chapter 12, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the ministry of discernment of spirits, there's different ministries. Paul emphasizes that, and that the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. We all need each other, but God's called us to be eyes and to be watchmen and to sound the alarm. And if he's called you to that kind of ministry, you don't sound the alarm, and you said, my ministry really is not to sound the alarm. Sorry, Lord, I don't want to be like Jonah and go where the Ninevites. I'm going to go to Spain because I heard their tapas bars, not topless bars, but tapas, T-O-P-A-S, are really good, They're known for their food right now. Speaking of food, my son took me out for lunch for my belated happy birthday gift from him. And we had a really nice meal, a good fellowship. My brother Tom was there too. And what's interesting is he's gluten-free, and he can't, Chad, as you know.
I know.
If he eats a little bit of gluten, man, he could be debilitated for not just days, maybe weeks, And he was served something, and he was really looking at it, inspecting it. It was with eggs, with some egg with something in it. And the chef goes, yeah, there's some really, that's a special thing that I put in there. And he doesn't get excited. He's like cross-eyed, like, what's in there, And I said, you mind me asking him what he put in there? He goes, no, please do. And I did, said some onions and whatever, vegetables. And I could have said to my son, I go, you're too picky. You just need to, get a different ministry regarding your food. Maybe you should be artistic with your food before you eat it, or something just off the wall. He would have looked at me and said, don't you care about me, Dad? Because it's because I care, and he cares about what he eats, that he inspects his food, Well, guess what? The Bible compares scripture to milk, to honey, to meat. It's more important than our daily food, the scriptures say, And it's vital that we make sure we're not being poisoned, because we live in a wicked world. I went to, years ago, I called Decon. I was killing a bunch of rats in the neighborhood that I lived in, because we lived right by a wash. I probably killed 40 or 50 rats at that house, all kinds of different rat traps. The Decon actually worked pretty good. And I remember looking at the label, and it was, 99.995 something, It was 0.005 poison. That's 1 in 20,000 parts. And I was curious what else was in it, because it didn't label it. And I called Decon. I said, hey, what's in here besides the poison? And it was like, I think natural flavors and wheat and a few other things, And I thought, isn't it amazing how to kill these rats, there's an imperceptible, very intransient amount of poison in this thing, but it's enough to kill a rat. And that's how the enemy works. And if you don't have people that have discernment, and we as Christians are all called to discernment, and you shouldn't leave it to a few brothers and sisters in the Lord that, you know, study and seek the Lord and so forth to be your eyes either. We're all called to have eyes. Just as there's a gift of mercy, we're all called to have mercy though. There's a gift of faith. We're all called to have faith, you know. There's a gift of giving in Romans 12. We're all called to give. So we're all called to certain things biblically, but some people are gifted specifically. And I think because the Lord, what the Lord took me out of and saved me from, he brought me into a ministry of discernment, and he saw fit to put you guys in the same ministry. And by the grace of God, it's been very, very fruitful, because we spend months talking about all the people that of the testimonies of people that have been delivered from darkness. And my objective has always been to win people to Christ, like yourself, Chad, and praise God for your testimony, but also to rescue believers or encourage them in the truth and see them come into greater light. You know, Tony was a man of the word when I first met him, but he became connected to our ministry and he came to a more and more of awareness of truth. And then he sees the need for more and more people to sharpen their swords, you know, amen. And he's on the front lines with us, and Chad is, and it's not an accident. So we make no apologies for speaking the truth. We also make sure we speak the truth in love. We're not perfect at it. We cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help us to have, you know, big loving hearts toward the lost and toward those who are deceived. We all know each other. I know these guys when they're on the mic and when they're off the mic, and they're godly men. We pray together. We fear the Lord together. We love the Lord together. We go street witnessing, evangelizing together, things of that nature. But we're called, all Christians are called to have some discernment. Listen to what 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and following says. He actually calls believers to discern between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is for all Christians, including the gentleman that wrote in. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus, or that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know, now listen to this, this is the conclusion of that thought. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are in a huge spiritual battle, and Satan is the foe of our eternal souls. And he has a lot of tricks in his toolbox, but his main tool is lies. Jesus called him the father of lies in John chapter 8, verse 44. Christians need to have discernment, because Satan will lace a lot of truth with a little bit of lie, but that lie is often enough to turn you away from a true knowledge of God. It eventually turns into bigger lies and false gods. Charles Spurgeon, who had a lot of good things to say, he was definitely off in some areas with his Calvinism and so forth, but I like this quote from him. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. See, I'm convinced personally in my ministry, and from what I've seen, I believe Tony and Chad will back up the next statement I'm going to make. I believe there's a lot more professing Christians that have ridden half-truths in hell than whole bald-faced lies in hell. Because bald-faced lies are easy to discern, you know? Most Christians aren't going to fall for, hey, you know what? God doesn't really exist, you know? Or Jesus isn't really Lord. They're just going to turn their back on that. But when the enemy hisses and says, if you partake of this sin and you begin to live in adultery or as a drunkard or whatever, don't worry, you'll still inherit the kingdom of God, because after all, Jesus died for you. You know, it's those kinds of lies that teach us that we can rebel against God and continue rebellion and then bring in the gospel, Jesus died for you, so forth, that are incredibly dangerous. So we have to be discerning not only for the dangers that are outside the church, and by the way, bald-faced lies need to be exposed too, but a lot of Christians catch them. They don't catch the half-truths, and that's one reason that we believe God has risen up this ministry. We need to love truth and champion truth. And it's just interesting, because you hear this term, you know, all truth is God's truth. You know, that's bandied around a lot in the last couple decades especially. And there's a lot of truth to that in this sense. All absolute truth is true. Okay, we don't doubt that. But that which passes for all truth today, a lot of times it's lies. Because man's opinions that go for truth now change. And so people are using that saying to say, yeah, we can find some truth in other religions, you know, world religions. And then before you know it, they're writing half-truths to hell.
Eat the meat, spit out the bones, and that nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. And I love Irenaeus, because Irenaeus and Justin Martyr, two of my favorite early church fathers, they were apostolic, or I should say early church fathers in the second century, the two top apologists. And the title of Irenaeus's work is called Against Heresies. And Irenaeus was fighting against the Gnostics of his day, and there were various Gnostic groups. And when you keep in mind the context of what was going on then, you didn't have 2,000 years of church history to look back on. The church was pretty new still. So you had a lot of people claim to be the true Christians. How could you discern who was what? In fact, most people didn't have a Bible with 66 books in it in their hands, you know? In Irenaeus' day, all the books were written, but they were still being collated and brought together. So you had the Gnostics that were denying that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh. First John wrote all about that. You know, Third John addresses that as well. Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John. John prophesied in the First John, that lie would continue to spread and these false prophets would go out into the world and many would hear them. Guess what? They were hearing them, and they were calling themselves the true Christians. They claimed they had deeper truth, and that Jesus would give you gnosis. And it wasn't really about him dying for our sins, because really, the only sin is really what the demiurge did, you know? He created the physical world, and there's this matter, and you're imprisoned in this matter, and you have to be set free. And Justin Martyr addressed some Gnosticism. He addressed more, you know, issues with Trifle the Jew and so forth. But Irenaeus, I mean, he really went after it. And his Against Heresies, I love the subtitles, or I should say, not the subtitles, basically his subtitle, or sometimes goes as a whole title, on the detection and overthrow of so-called gnosis, or the refutation and overthrow of the knowledge falsely so-called. He had to discern. People weren't using discernment. They were saying, this is a Christian church too. Before you knew it, they were wrapping snakes around their head, worshiping the serpent of the hole, and saying he was just another incarnation of the Christ spirit, or you know, like Sophia and so forth. So it's just really interesting when you look at this, because when you check out what he wrote, listen to what he writes in his introductory words. I've always treasured these words from Irenaeus. Error, he says, indeed, is never set forth in its naked deformity, lest being thus exposed, it should be at once detected. But it is craftily decked out in an attractive dress, so as by its outward form to make it appear to the inexperienced, and I'm going to skip lines and paragraphs because it's too much to read here, more true than truth itself. A clever imitation in glass casts contempt, as it were, on the precious jewel, as the emerald, which is most highly esteemed by some, unless it comes under the eye of one able to test and expose the counterfeit, lest therefore through my neglect, and that we would be neglecting as well, some should be carried off, even as sheep are by wolves. And the early Christians understood that genuine Christians could be deceived, while they perceive not the true character of these men, because they outwardly are covered with sheep's clothing, against whom, he says, the Lord has enjoined us to be on guard. And because their language resembles ours, see, they speak Christianese, while their sentiments are very different, I have deemed it my duty, he says, after reading more of some of their commentaries, as they call them, of the disciples of Valentinus, and he headed up the Gnostic group known as the Valentinians, which were the most popular Gnostic group of the day at that time. He says, and after making myself acquainted with their tenets through personal intercourse with some of them, to unfold to thee, my friend, these portentous and profound mysteries which do not fall within the range of every intellect, because all have not the sufficiently purged their brains. What he's saying is not everybody is using discernment. They need to be warned that there is rat poison in this so-called truth. I do this, he says, in order that thou, obtaining an acquaintance with these things, mayest in turn explain them to all those whom thou art connected, and exhort them to avoid such an abyss of madness and the blasphemy against Christ. And these are powerful warnings whereby he is warning the children of God not to be deceived by these deceptions. And of course, as you guys know, the Bible tells all Christians, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. If we're not exposing darkness and we know what's going on, just as Christians, we're in sin.
Yeah, it's interesting because I remember reading Irenaeus, and specifically when he was talking about the Marcionites and Marcion coming into homes, and he quoted this verse from 2 John chapter 10. He said, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." And in Amen. Context of him quoting that, he tells a story about a married woman of astounding beauty with a man that was in his fellowship. He was the Bishop of Lyons. Mm-hmm. And that she was taken away by Marcion, specifically by Marcion himself.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Through kind of very similar to word of faith, nonsense and witchcraft is what it was. But yeah, very interesting that you would go there. And I know, you know, we could, and I know we're going to get deeper into this, talking specifically about what Scripture says about, you know, being diligent, being discerning. But I think it's really good for people to see how important it is, as you've been pointing out, how important it is that we recognize the truth from error. Because, like you said, there's just a lot of people that aren't caring anymore.
Amen.
I just got back from Texas, and I got to speak and share my testimony. I shared with how I got involved with Good Fight and why I care about doctrine, specifically because I watched people that said they were believers act like non-believers, and I became an atheist, and then, you know, eventually came to the Lord through Good Fight Ministries. And I just distinctly remember not only getting involved with that and explaining to people, this is why doctrine matters. You need to know what you believe. You need to know why you believe it. You need to have scripture that backs it up. Don't just say, I feel, say chapter and verse. And these things are really important. And that's one of the reasons I'm here at Good Fight.
You know? Amen. And we praise God for you, Chad. And Tony, you guys are, I mean, I can't see God give me better partners in the ministry. You guys are just amazing.
Well, and
go on.
Paul in Philippians, he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment." So it was important for him not just to say it, but say, this is what I'm praying for you.
Amen.
So obviously there's a concern there.
Yeah, we need to be discerning in our love. We emphasize love. If anybody's listened to our messages, I mean, if you listen to my message on Sunday, I'm constantly preaching, you know, the scripture. And but I emphasize love a lot, but I also emphasize being discerning in our love, because we talk about sloppy agape, you know, and there's this idea of Christianity means, you know, anything and any belief system is acceptable. And that's, you know, Jesus was more interested in truth than anyone. You know, Jesus said to the Father in his high priestly prayer in John 17, "Thy word is truth." You know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Holy Spirit breathed the scripture, and he's called the Spirit of Truth. You know, and we're called, as John said, to discern the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And if we're not discerning and we're not involved in ministry, I mean, I love Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is amazing to me. But Ephesians 4, where it says he gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers, it goes on to say why he gave them. It was to build up the body of Christ, but it was also, it says it very clearly, that we're no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, slate of men who lie in wait to deceive. I mean, it's literally warning and letting us know that God's provided ministry, apostolic as well, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And I don't consider myself an apostle, and I believe the 12 apostles with the one who replaced Matthias, that he ended up becoming the replacement, and Paul was an apostle born out of due time, that they have a special place. But as a pastor teacher, I have a duty to guard the flock. And as Christians, we're all called to be our brother's keeper in a sense. And if we really care about people, not wanting to see them deceived, you know, I'd hate for my brother to be deceived by the enemy. I'd hate for my son to be deceived and think he's eating something that's healthy and going to make him stronger and also be debilitated. How much more should we be concerned about someone who is going to be in eternal conscious torment forever because we failed to warn them? I mean, somebody could say, why did Jesus criticize the Pharisees so much? And you read Matthew 23. Woe after woe after woe after woe. There's strong woes too, by the way. Was Jesus being picky? No. He talked about how these guys encompassed land and sea to make one convert and would make them twice the child of hell. Jesus came to set people free. You know, that's his heart. So you better hurt when people are being deceived, and you better warn if God's called you to that kind of ministry. And as I said, we've all been called to some semblance of ministry along those lines. And it's especially an acute situation. We recognize that we're in the end of days, that the scriptures predicted these times, and that we're supposed to be even more discerning. In fact, we're called in Scripture. You know, the Lord says that, you know, his children perish because of lack of knowledge. And the Scriptures also state, without a prophetic vision, my people go astray. And the Scriptures talk about how the prudent see the evil coming to hide themselves, but those who don't, they're punished. We want to make sure we don't perish because of lack of knowledge. And in the last days, we read in Daniel 11, 32 and 33, that God will rise up people to do a mighty exploits. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt. It's talking about the coming Antichrist with flattery. But the people who know their God, the Hebrew word there is yada, and it's similar to the Greek word nosko, who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame and by captivity and plundering. God's called us and called believers to sound the trumpet. In fact, what was Ezekiel called to? Ezekiel 33:6. The Lord God stated to him, but if the watchman sees a sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people of the sword, and it comes and takes someone's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. And you know what? Christian leaders are supposed to be watchmen. Pastors who don't do exploits and don't warn against false doctrine, elders, read Titus chapter 1. We've covered that before. One of the requirements of being an elder was being able to refute the false doctrines of those who taught contrary to Scripture. In Ezekiel 22:36, we read, her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. How? They have not distinguished or discerned between the holy and unholy, and they have not made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. Today, there's no talk about holiness, you know? It's like it's a bad word in the church. Repentance is a bad word in the church. The blood of Christ is, you know, shunned often because people don't want to talk about him giving himself as a substitutionary atonement today. The warnings of hell, that's not popular today. But that's not really how you build a big church. We want to build Jesus' church, amen? And his church, amen. The gates of hell, he said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then if you read Daniel 12, I'm not going to read the passage there, but it talks about those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And it's an incredible encouragement for those who want to speak truth. That could be all of us. Don't look at it as though we are special priesthood, if you're in the audience, that we've been called to take the blinders off people. All of us, when you know truth and you love the truth, you want to speak the truth to those who are in error. You want to be prayerful. You want to be wise about it, but you want to go forth and recognize that we're all supposed to be light, the light of Jesus. Amen. We're all supposed to proclaim his wonderful truth. Amen. We're supposed to encourage one another. In fact, Jesus over and over again, and I'll just give you the verses you can look up on your own, but he over and over again in his Olivet Discourse warned about the end times. At least four different times he warned about spiritual deception in that discourse. Matthew 24:4, he warned that no one mislead you. See to it that no one misleads you. Many will be misled. 24:9-11, he warns about false prophets will deceive many. 24:15-16, he warns about the coming Antichrist and how he'll stand in the holy place and the reader's supposed to understand, meaning you should know what prophecy says. In chapter 24, verse 23-28, he warns that false Christ and false prophets will rise, showing great signs and wonders, deceiving if possible, even the very elect of God, you guys. This is such a serious, serious situation. So I want to encourage everybody that you would stand fast in the Lord and that you would recognize that the ministries that are doing the work of God in these last days are the ministries that are serving Jesus in accordance with his words, not the ministries who are warning to not listen to warnings. That and not that this guy is implying that, but many people, they're not in discernment at all. And when you're not in discernment, like I said, you're more likely to ride a half-truth into hell than a whole truth.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.